I think that's where we're going. Acts 11. Again, I do want to thank you for being here this morning and praise the Lord for your faithfulness to be in church. And I'm excited about the time frame of Missions Conference. Always kind of almost always falls directly after Mother's Day. And usually on Mother's Day, I try to have a message that's geared towards mothers. That would kind of make sense to me. All right. At least to me, use the opportunity to gear the Word of God towards that day. So it ends up trying to find a week to kind of preach on missions and get your mind geared towards the Missions Conference that's coming up. This usually ends up being the time frame here. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to preach on missions today and kind of go through some things in the Bible. Now, I'd like to say this. I am not a missionary. All right. Now, I know I spent all of my life on the other coast, and then I came out here. But it doesn't make me a missionary, all right? And so I'm not a missionary. I haven't been called to be a missionary. And actually, one of the strongest callings I've ever had in my life was to not be a missionary. Say, well, how does that work? Well, I was praying very strongly. This is many years ago now. I'm going to try to do math, all right? So probably 27 years ago now is I was burdened about missions. I was burdened about people leaving their comforts and their home and going to a place to preach the gospel to people that don't readily have the gospel preached to them. And I was burdened about that. And where I went to Bible school, they had a high emphasis on missions and spreading the gospel around the world. And a missionary had come into the church where I was and had presented the work and all of the work that needed to be done. And then my heart was kind of smote, you know. And I said, man, I said, Lord, I don't know what you want from me, but I want to say with the best of intentions that I'm willing to go. If you want me to go, I'm willing to go to be a missionary. And so the Lord really dealt on my heart and dealt with me about that. And so I submitted myself to say, Lord, if that's what you want from me. And yesterday I was talking to a young man, and he was asking me about the wall here and the picture in the back, the globe map in the back, and said, what are all the dots for? And I said, well, these are all dots of missionaries that our church supports. We help them financially, and they're all over the globe. And so I'm pointing at some of this. And this one over here, this is Reunion Island. I didn't even know this was a thing until this guy said something. And over here, this is Vanuatu. I'm like, oh, yeah. I'm like, Fiji. It's near Fiji. And so I'm kind of going through the map and just talking about some of the missionaries that we support. And so I was burdened about missions. And so I said, man, what am I to do? And what does the Lord desire of me? And so I'm not always quick to get everything. All right, I'm just going to tell you that. I'm not always quick to get. So I'm trying to, the Lord's showing me, and he's showing me. And finally, through some scripture, he says, I'm not calling you to be a missionary. All right, that's what he told me. He said, and he had these different things that came about in my life where I was praying about a specific field, and I was praying hard about it. And in one of my Bible classes, a young man stands up, and he says, it was a Bible class. It was just to the men. And he stands up and he says, I just want to say that the Lord has called me to be a missionary to this place that I was praying about. And the Lord's speaking to me, and he says, see him right there? He's supposed to go there. Not you. I mean, that's how, I don't know, but that's how plain the Lord has to be with me sometimes. See that guy standing right there? Yes, of course I see that guy. You hear what he just said? Yes, he said it was amazing. That's what I'm praying about, Lord. And he said, yeah, he's supposed to go, not you. I have something different for you to do. And I was like, not Washington State. I'm just kidding. The Lord didn't tell me that till like much later, all right? But it was a very strong leading of the Lord. And through the scripture, he showed me some scripture and said, you're not going to go and preach to a people of a strange tongue and a strange language. And so the Lord had very heavily put that on me. And so when I preach this morning about missions, this I do not have the experience to stand here and preach as Brother Bailey did, to preach as a missionary that was on the field for many years and many, many good things that he would have been able to teach you. But what we can do is we can look at the scripture and we can have a good understanding of what missions is, how God kind of operates and what he uses to operate missions, and then how he uses the local church in missions as well. And so, listen, I don't believe there's a right way or a wrong way to do the Lord's will if it's the Lord's will. Now, if it's not the Lord's will, don't do that thing. But if it is the Lord's will, he's going to lead and guide and direct you in that will. And so this is not a, this is how missionaries should do it. I don't go into someone else's church and go up to the pastor and be like, you know what, you're doing it all wrong. Right? It's independent Baptist church. They're going to do some things that we don't do and vice versa. And they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. And so this is not a how-to on missions. All right. This is not a how-to message, but we can take a biblical look at the process of a missionary and the involvement of the local church. And so that's what I want to be able to look at here. And so in Acts chapter number 11 this morning, let's read and start reading verse 22. Acts chapter 11 and verse 22. The Bible says, "Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch." Now, Antioch is a city north of Jerusalem. So if you can picture Israel on a map and you can kind of have any idea where Jerusalem is, it's north. All right. So if Jerusalem is this microphone, then Antioch is up here. All right. Up going up towards like modern day Turkey. All right. Heading up that direction. And so Antioch is this place where some Christians from that have believed in Jesus Christ, they end up going north to this place in Antioch. And there is it's not as heavily populated with Jews. And so there's a bunch of Gentiles that are also there. And people are getting saved, and they're preaching Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is saving souls, Jews and Gentiles both, as he is doing. And so God moves there, and the church in Jerusalem says, we want to see what's going on up there. And so they send some people up there to Antioch. Verse 23, "Who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they should cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man." This is speaking of Barnabas. "He was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarshish for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." This term Christian, we use it very freely nowadays. Nowadays it can literally mean anything. But the term Christian was given to these people in Antioch that were looking at this group that had come together, and they were preaching this man, Jesus, this Jesus Christ. They were preaching this Christ, and they were preaching salvation through Jesus Christ, Jews and Gentiles both. And the gospel is very plain in the scripture. It is faith in Jesus Christ and him only. So the Jews were believing in Christ, and they were able to leave some of the law that had drawn them as a nation to God. They weren't counting on that law for salvation. They were counting on the blood of Jesus Christ that he shed on Calvary. And the Gentiles coming from serving idols were coming and hearing of Jesus Christ, and they were believing in Christ in order to get saved. And they were forming a local church and a community of believers. And everyone else looked at this community of believers, and they said, there's those Christians. And what did that mean? They meant they were following Christ. They were following Jesus the Christ. And so they said, here's this group of Christians, and souls are getting saved, and there's good things that are going on here at the church. And what happens is they form what we would know as a local church. A local body in Antioch, right? Because the church at Jerusalem sent some people up to Antioch to say, what's going on up there? And they go up there, and what are they doing? They're forming this assembly of people, this group of people that were believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were centered around the Word of God, and they were centering a whole year. Barnabas and Saul get together, and they're teaching and preaching and growing this group of new converts that are believing in Christ, and they're growing together in love, and they're part of a local church. And they're involved in serving the Lord. They're actively doing these things. They're serving the Lord, and they're, well, probably didn't have gospel tracts, but if they had them, they'd have been passing them out, all right? They would have been passing out gospel tracts, telling people about Jesus. They'd have been studying the Scriptures. They were in the Word of God, and they were in the Scriptures to say, what does God want of us now? And this local church is born in Antioch, and this local church becomes one of the most important local churches in history. Why? Because what they do is they get involved in this thing called missions, and it's very infancy, this idea of a missionary, this idea of leaving a place where we have grown up and this place where we have learn the Word of God and this country that we've grown accustomed to, and leaving all of that to go somewhere else simply to preach Jesus. And so this local church here at Antioch gets very involved in this. Let's go ahead and pray and ask the Lord to bless the message, and we'll get into kind of point number one of the structure. All right, Lord, thank you for today. Lord, I pray that you'd bless the Word of God as it goes forth in truth. Lord, led by your Holy Spirit, and Lord, that our hearts would be in tune to this idea of missions and what was going on. Lord, we might be able to learn something from the Word of God about the process and, Lord, of course, the local church and our involvement. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless now. I pray that you'd increase and I would decrease in the sight of your people. And that we would thank you when we leave here this morning to know that you have spoken to us clearly in Jesus' name. Amen. Now turn over to Acts 13. Acts 13. So we have this local church in Antioch, and it's established here, and they are throughout history. This church at Antioch upholds the Word of God like almost no other church, and they're concerned about what God has to say, and they're concerned about God's Word, and they're concerned about studying the Scriptures, and they're concerned about what God is trying to do and how God is working. So Acts chapter 13 now. Let's start reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch. All right, so a local church, the church that was at Antioch, not the church at Jerusalem, not the church in Tarsus, not the church anywhere else. This was the church that was in Antioch. There were certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. All right, so here's this group, and they've formed a local church here, and Saul has now kind of made this his base, and Barnabas has made this his home place. We saw that they've been there for over a year now, and they're preaching and teaching the Word, and they're involved with one another and all of the things. And so they're here ministering and doing this work, and they're satisfied in it, and they're busy doing something for God. They're busy being a part of this group that's separating themselves to Christ and to preach Christ. And then the Holy Ghost of God comes into this group, and if you're saved and born again, you would know, if you've been here any length of time, that when you get saved and born again, God gives you of His Holy Spirit. His name is the Holy Ghost. He gives that to you, and he dwells inside of you. And part of the Holy Ghost's job is to lead and guide and direct in your life. And so what we have here is we have a church that is uplifting the Lord, and the Holy Ghost of God is moving amongst them. And specifically here, the Holy Ghost of God says unto Barnabas and Saul, I want to separate you unto this other work that I have for you. There should be a work of a local church. And that is the work of this community. We're a local church. We live here. And so our ministry to give the gospel is right here where our church is planted. And we should be trying to reach the communities around our area with the gospel and with the truth of Jesus Christ and salvation. But they said, but the Holy Ghost of God leads through this local church. He leads these two men, Saul and Barnabas. This Saul is who we know to be Paul. He's the one that wrote most of the New Testament. All right, he gets his name that changed from Saul to Paul. All right, so Barnabas and Paul, the Lord says, I want to separate you from this local church because I have a different work for you to do. And so point number one is this call to missions is there's a calling of the Holy Ghost. There's a calling of God in a person's life that God says, I have a different work for you to do than the one here, and that is to go to a place, I'm going to get ahead of myself, where I'll show you where that place is going to be. And it's a specific calling. It's not a calling for everybody. Not everybody's called to go be missions, to be missionaries, or else we wouldn't have a local church here. That makes sense, right? Some of us have been called here and to witness here and to be a testimony for Lord Jesus Christ here. We have plenty of sinners around here, right? We are one of them. And thank God if you're saved that you got saved. But there are plenty of sinners here we can witness to and we can give the gospel to. And so God doesn't call everybody, but he calls some. And God's the one that does the calling. Listen, a burden is not a calling. I talked about that early on. Man, I was burdened. And sometimes, maybe even at this missions conference, we'll see some videos or some, I almost went way back to the 80s and called it a slideshow, all right? But you might see a PowerPoint, all right? You might see something about pictures and about these ministries and Brother Nick Serino in Alaska that we've supported for many years and working with the Native Americans in Alaska and those small communities way up there in the Arctic Circle, right? I mean, most people around here complain if it drops below 40. In the summer, in Point Hope, it might get to 40, all right? So he's way up there. And we might see some pictures. We might see some poverty. We might see something. Brother Paul Victor might show us. He's in India. He might show us some things going on in India and people that need reach with the gospel and all their false gods and their idols and all this stuff. And man, our hearts might be burdened and say, man, there's so many, right? Because we get to see just for a moment, man, this world's a big world. And we get used to here, but it's a big world. And there's a lot of people without Christ. And there's a lot of people in need given the gospel. And all of this, and we might get to see that, and our hearts might be, oh, man. But a burden doesn't make a calling. A calling is something very specific of the Lord. A calling is something very specific where God says, okay, I have this thing. And in the case of a missionary, you're here involved in this local church, but I'm going to call you to a different work. And a calling is a direct leading of the Holy Ghost in the work of missions for a different ministry than the one they're currently involved in. And I'd like to say this as well about this calling of the Holy Ghost. God calls people that are busy serving the Lord. That's who God calls. I've never really met anyone doing nothing for God, no involvement whatsoever in the local church that God has placed them. I've never seen the Lord call somebody and say, boy, I have a great work for you to do. And actually, this will be the first work that you're going to get involved in. I've rarely seen that. I don't think I've ever seen it. God calls people that are busy working for the Lord, busy doing something for the Lord. You know what he does? He calls faithful people to be faithful. That's what he does. He calls faithful people to continue being faithful wherever he leads and calls and directs, and he leads and calls them for a work of the Lord. We support the Bakers who are in Hawaii, and people say, oh man, now Alaska, my wife would be all on board with this, right? Alaska, you can have it. The cold and the snow, I will pray for you, right? But to be called to Hawaii, people are thinking, oh man, 52 weeks out of the year, pure vacation. Not really. If you go there on vacation, that's one thing, but if you live there ministering to the locals and the natives that live in Hawaii, you'll find it's a whole different thing. I mean, the temperature might be nice, but you're doing a work of the Lord. You're there with a labor of the Lord to start a church and to preach the gospel in these places. And so he calls them to a different work. That's what happens with a missionary, is they get called from the place, the local church they're involved in, and they get called to go to a work. I like to say this secondly about missions. And a missionary is not only called of the Lord and called of the Holy Ghost, but also sent by the local church. The local church is also involved in sending missionaries. And those of you that have been here for a few years, you understand that. Most recently, with Brother Russell, Brother Adam and Sarah Russell. And they were saved and a part of this church and trained up in this church and learned the Word of God in this church and got a burden for missions and a burden for souls in this church. And God moved and called them to Mexico. And you were a part of that, and you saw that working in their lives. And those of you that were here said, we're all for you. We support you in going to Mexico and the work that God has called you to do. Some of you probably said, I'm glad he called you and not me. But it was a calling, and they had that on their heart. And God said, it's time to go. And so they were sent by the local church. We see that in chapter 13, verse number 3. The Bible says, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Well, who's involved? The church, the local church. And when they had fasted and prayed, who? The local church. And Barnabas and Saul, Paul, they had fasted and prayed. And laid their hands on them, who the church laid their hands on them to send them their blessing and to lay their hands and pray upon them. What happens? Then they, the local church, send them, Barnabas and Saul, send them away. They were sent by the local church. Listen, in the local church is the hub of God's activity. And all these local churches that are around this country, it's the hub of God's activity and movement. He speaks and he moves and he encourages and he rebukes and he teaches and he grows and he leads his people through the local church. That's how God has it set up. I didn't write the rules. I didn't set it up that way. But I know this much. God has always... I understand I'm the pastor now, right? But I haven't always been a pastor. And for many years, you know what I did? I sat where you sat. And I let the Lord lead and guide and direct my life as an older teenager and directed me to go to Bible school. And from Western Pennsylvania, I end up in Florida. And then in Florida, the Lord had me go to Bible school and he led and guide and direct and teach and rebuke my life as I submitted myself unto the local church. And then from there, he said, what I want you to do, I want you to go to New York. I was like, New York? He's like, yeah. Western New York. There's more than the city of New York, all right? So it was Rochester, New York, and I'm going to lead you there to work in a church and be active in that local church and to do all the things that I ended up doing in that local church. But sitting in that church and being led and grown of the Lord until the Lord said, in the local church, said, why don't you go to Washington? I was like, Washington? It's always like a surprise, you know, and the Lord, what? And so... But what happened? It all happened through the local church. Because that's what God uses. He uses the institution of the local church. The local church was invested in the Lord's work. And they were fasting and they were praying and they were seeking the Lord's will. And once there was a unanimous movement of the Holy Spirit, they said, all right, off you go. Good luck. And they sent them off. The calling was evident to many. The calling was evident because of the moving of the Lord and the burden that the church had for souls. and Barnabas and Saul said, I think the Lord's calling us to hit the road and go into Asia at the time, Asia Minor at the time, and up into parts of Europe that we would know it to be now. And he said, we're gonna head in that direction. And the church said, we're for souls. We're for the Lord's leading. We're for the direction of the Holy Ghost. And we're going to send you off with fasting and prayer. And we're going to send you out to win souls. A missionary is sent out by the local church. I'd like to say this also. A missionary follows the direction of the Holy Ghost. That's what a missionary does. You look out there on that map and you see all these dots. And you say, how in the world did all these missionaries end up in these different places? Well, probably a dart. That's my guess. They just kind of spin around three times and then just chuck it somewhere. Now, that's not how it happened. You might have been a boat preaching to nobody. There's a lot of water on this globe if you don't know that, right? So what is it? It's the leading and the guiding of the Holy Ghost of God. That's what it is. Look over in chapter 16, Acts chapter 16. I can only spin around once or I'd be up here all dizzy, so... Acts chapter 16, look in verse number 6. The Bible says this, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. And after they were come to Mysia, they assuaged to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. This is an example of where the Lord told them not to go preach. But as a missionary, God leads them and directs them down to a place where God wants them to go preach. He usually leads them and directs them to a country or to a place, a field is chosen of the Lord. The Bakers didn't go, you know what? I like Hawaii. Let's go there. That's not what happened. I don't think the Serenos said, you know what? We love to be cold all of the time. Let's go to Alaska. No, not the southern part. Let's go way up there. They didn't do that. Some of these missionaries didn't decide, you know what we're going to do? We're going to go to a place and learn like an impossible language. Let's go do that. No, God, the Holy Ghost of God, was a part of their leading and guiding to these places. And they followed the Holy Ghost of God. Missionaries are men and women that are moved greatly for a country or for a people group that God has placed on their hearts. God has done the work. God has done the directing. And God's plan for each individual and what he wants them to do is always the right thing when God is the one doing the leading, when God is the one doing the directing. And he had sent them there for a work. And so God leads and directs and breaks things down and says, this is the place. And that's how you have all these missionaries come through. And you're thinking, how did you end up here? And how'd you end up here? How'd you end up in Cambodia? How'd you end up in Malawi? How'd you end up in Zimbabwe? How'd you end up in all of these countries? How do you end up in Reunion Island? How do you end up in other places, right? Canary Islands is the one I was stuck on trying to draw that name. How do you get into these different places? God leads and guides and directs and opens doors. And so for missions, man, God does this for missionaries and leads them to these specific places. And not only that, but missionary goes to these places, called out of a local church, led of the Holy Ghost. They go to these places to do what? To preach Jesus. To preach Jesus. Look in Acts chapter 17, in verse 16. Acts 17, verse 16. This is the example. This is the example Paul and Paul going and Barnabas goes with them for a while and then picks a Lord gives him a different guy and they go and head in a different place and Paul chooses Silas and then they go back and go through some different areas. But God's calling these men to go preach the gospel in these places where the gospel has not been preached. And so In chapter 17, verse 16, the Bible says, "Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him. And when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry," he has a burden for souls. He understands there's a work that God's given him to do. "Therefore, disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, 'What will this babbler say?' Others, some, 'He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods.' Why? Because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." That was his message. His message wasn't, "Let's turn over a new leaf." His message wasn't, "We're all trying to get to the same place, so just be a good person." He wasn't preaching that. He was preaching Jesus, a man's name, Jesus the Christ, who died on the cross and rose again from the dead. Because he preached Jesus and he preached God, because they were worshiping the unknown God in the chapter, and he comes down and he says, "You're too superstitious." He goes, you worship a God you don't even know. Let me tell you about this God, this creator of the world. And he sent his son, Jesus, to die, and then he rose from the dead to prove that he was the Son of God. And they said, "Rose from the dead." They said, "Man, this guy's crazy." But many believed. Many believed on Jesus Christ. And what do missionaries do? They go to these places and they preach Jesus. They preach Jesus. They don't go for climate. They don't go for comforts. But to see sinners get saved, like you and I. If you got saved, it's because someone cared enough to give you the gospel. Someone, maybe someone invited you to a church and the preacher cared enough to tell you about Jesus Christ. And that without Jesus Christ, you're a sinner and need a Savior on your way to what the Bible calls the devil's hell. But Jesus Christ loved you enough to die for you. And someone loved you enough to tell you about the answer of Jesus Christ. To have heaven secured as your home and to be able to live a life in Jesus Christ. And that's what they do. They go to tell sinners how to get saved. And what do? When they win souls, well, you know what they establish in that place? They establish a local church in that place. Look in chapter 18, verse 7. Chapter 18 and verse number 7. So he's in Macedonia there, but we won't have to look into where he is. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, "Be not afraid. But speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. You know what Paul did? He establishes a local church. People start getting saved, and he establishes a local place where people could gather together, and he could stand up and preach and teach the word of God. So those Christians can not only get saved, but then they could grow in the Word, and they could grow in their burden to see souls saved. And they would grow in their burden for Paul and his ministry, because Paul's ministry was unique as a missionary. He didn't stay in one place the whole time. He moved around the area and kept preaching the gospel and started a whole bunch of local churches all over Asia Minor and what we would know to be kind of the southeastern part of current Europe. He went around and was preaching the gospel in all of these areas, but he was giving them this burden for his ministry to go and preach the gospel. And he started local churches. And that's what missionaries do. They set up a local church, but it's in a different place than here. It's often with a different culture. It's often with a different language. And with a people that sometimes think fundamentally very different than how we think. Listen, we take for granted how Americans think. We take for granted the American way, if that still exists. The idea of hard work. I think it still exists. I hope it exists in you. The idea of hard work, the idea of trying to build our own success and what God allows us to do for him. This idea of having a drive to see God accomplish and do something and to go forward. We take that very much for granted. That's not in every place. That's not in every place. Some countries, the government has beat that out of them. Until what? They're just kind of aimlessly walking around until the government tells them what to do next. And there's missionaries that go to these places where the people don't even fundamentally think how we think. Let alone places like Papua New Guinea, where you can't even tell them how we think, and it will ever make sense to them why we would possibly do some of the things that we do as Americans. And missionaries don't go to a foreign country to make them American. They go to a foreign country to reach them in their culture with the gospel and to preach to them. They go giving up America to go and basically become part of their culture and to be able to reach and minister to them. And Brother Roberts in Vietnam, who was there in the war with Vietnam, and God called him to go back and be a witness to those people. And you know what he did? He's a southern boy, doesn't claim a lot of education. And he goes back to Vietnam and he's in language school and he's like, man, I cannot get this language. So you know what he did? He went down into the streets and sat with lepers and talked to them and just talked to everyday people and learned the language and started orphanages and works with children that are just cast out in the street. And say, what does he do? He went back there to do what? To give them the gospel and the foundation of Jesus Christ so those kids can get saved and grow up and have a stability in Christ that you and I can take for granted. But have this stability in Christ, and he is currently still doing that. And he didn't go there to make all those kids American kids. He went there to say, hey, this is your culture, but man, if you receive Jesus Christ, you can have eternal life, and you can have the soundness of the Word of God. And that's what missionaries are called to do. They're called to leave here and go somewhere else and start another local church with a ministry for souls. And how do they do all this? Many of you know already. How do they leave here? Oh, they all must be independently wealthy. No, they're not. How do they do it? How do they go to these places? Because you go to these places in a lot of countries, this is not a political statement, but a lot of these countries, you can't go and take their people's jobs. It's a novel idea. But just not anybody can show up and take their jobs. If you show up there as a missionary, they say you have to be here on some kind of outside reason to be here. You can't just come here and work. And so they go there often a different kind of visa. Sometimes it's teaching. Sometimes it is some type of what we would call like a job or a work. But sometimes they go there and get a religious visa to be there. But they can't go and apply and get a job and work like you and I have the freedoms to do. So what happens? Well, they go there through the support of the local church. The local church is important. You see that? Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, as I've heard many preachers say, you're going to have to start listening quicker, all right? Because the quicker you listen, the quicker we'll get done, all right? So 2 Corinthians chapter 8, let's look in verse number 7. The Bible says, therefore, as ye abounded in everything, Paul writing to this local church at Corinth, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. This grace is found earlier in chapter 8. With these individuals, this church, the churches of Macedonia, who gave money for other Christians in other places. All right, so that's this grace, this same grace also. Verse number 8, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the frowardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet he for your sakes became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there first be a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. So what's Paul saying? Paul's telling his church, listen, these other churches, man, they have, in their deep poverty, they have given to provide for others. And he says, you know, I'm telling you to do it, Corinth. He's telling, I'm telling you to do the same thing. You're of a ready mind, but perform that. Out of a truth, out of a sincerity of your love towards missions and giving to others. That's what he says. And look in Philippians chapter 4. He tells another local church this. In Philippians 4, Paul, as a missionary, he says this in Philippians chapter 4 in verse number 14. He says, notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians all know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving. See, he explains himself. But ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again to my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smelling, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. He writes to the church at Philippi and he says, you know that when I first came from Macedonia, no churches supported me. That's what he's saying. No churches communicated with me in this giving and receiving. He says, but when I was in Thessalonica, more than once, you guys were the ones that were sending and meeting my needs and giving to me of my necessities so that I could survive. Paul's walking into places that have no church. He's preaching the gospel to people that have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he's there trying to do a work. And what happens? Local churches are sending him money in giving and receiving so that he can live and preach the gospel and they can supply for his need. That's what the local church is supposed to be a part of. The local church is supposed to have such a burden for souls and a burden for the gospel to be able to go across the world that what happens, local churches like ours, we can't send enough money to all of our missionaries for them to be able to live off of what we send them. We don't have enough money to do that. But you know what we can do? We can send them some. And a bunch of other local churches across this country who also have burdens for souls, they also send them some. And it makes up enough for them to be able to live in a new country and culture and place and language and everything else. And they're able to go out and preach the gospel to a people that you and I will never be able to reach. You and I will never be able to reach them with the gospel. How in the world is the local church supposed to be a part of worldwide missions? Are you going to go? Am I going to go? We can take missions trips and we can go for, what, a week or 10 days and go to a place and take off work and spend the money and we get there. We can pass out gospel tracts and we can help like we did with Brother Russell. And we can preach and we can and give out the gospel and knock on doors and say, hey, there's a local church here that cares about you and your family. And through a translator sometimes. And like when we were in Mexico, the little boy, with a small group of us and we're knocking on apartment doors and this little boy turns the blind away from the window and he looks out the window and he goes, gringos. He's like, there's a bunch of white people out here. Now I know you're probably not supposed to say that, but he didn't know you weren't supposed to say that. He just looked out and said, wow, they don't look like me. There's a, what? He's like looking back in his house like, there's a bunch of, what's going on around here? And what were we there to do? We were there with someone that could actually speak Spanish, because I can't, to say, hey, here's what we're doing. Here's why we're here. And, but how are you and I going to get involved in missions? Listen, the Great Commission in Mark chapter 16 says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. How can you and I possibly be involved with going into the world and preaching the gospel? Do we have the finances to send ourselves and take all these trips and go and preach the gospel? How effective are we going to be there for a week or 10 days to give the gospel? But what if someone said, I'll go, Lord? And they were willing to go and set up a local church in that place and reach out to their community to see souls get saved. What if we could be a part of that? What if we could be a part of men standing in pulpits all around this world? Look at that thing when you go out. All around this world of men standing this morning in their pulpits, opening up a Bible and preaching Jesus. And going out during the week and knocking on doors and going into the streets and preaching and handing out gospel tracts and trying to see people get saved. What if we could be a part of that? That'd be profitable. That'd be profitable. The Bible says in Matthew chapter number 6 that we're not supposed to lay up our treasures where moth and rust doth corrupt, but we're supposed to lay up our treasures in heaven. What do you think? What do you think the return on investment is for some of our dollars going across the globe to preach the Son of God as Savior of the world? You think that return on investment's pretty good? What do you think the Lord thinks about that investment? That's a pretty good deal. We're laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Say, how can the local church be a part of worldwide missions and the Great Commission? And what can the local church do to be involved? Listen, the Lord might not have called you to go to some of these places to preach the gospel. But you know how you and I can be involved? We can give what he's given to us. Money. And we can send it across the world to bless these missionaries and to help support them and to be able to meet some of their needs that they have in these places. Now listen, we support 52 missionaries in this church. We're not trying to brag. It's just us here. Who are we bragging to? Each other? You pat my back and then I'll pat yours and then we can all feel good about it. No, but this church was founded on the idea that missions is important and the local church should be involved in missions. Yes, we sent, more than most churches can say, we sent the Russells. We handle all the money, and with the blessings, we sent out. But we also support. Why? Well, until the Lord calls someone else to go from this church, you know what we can do? We can support with our wallets. The jobs that God has given us and the money that God has allowed us to have, we can take some of that and we can give it to support missions. So, between monthly support and between annual support, all right, monthly means we send a mission board a check every month that ends up getting to that missionary to help them. And annual means we send one check to an oversight committee that one check goes to that missionary. And say, how do we do it? We do it through our regular tithes and offerings. That means the money that you put in every single week, we take some of that money and we support missions with that money. It doesn't go into my salary. It doesn't go to build bigger barns around here, to use a biblical term. It doesn't go towards any of those things. Why? Because missions are important. And God has blessed us with this property and these buildings and everything else. God's blessed us with that. And thank God, we don't owe a penny on any of this. So what's that allow us to do? That allows us to say, okay, we can support missions. And so that's what we're able to do. And the other way that we do it is at our missions conference. So our missions conference, once a year, what do? we take up an offering and we collect all of the money. And out of all of the money given to missions, not next weekend, that's Mother's Day, the weekend after, we collect all of that money. And you know what we do? Every dime that comes in to missions, we send every dime of that. They don't do the penny anymore, so maybe I should just go to the nickel. Every nickel that comes in, you know what we do? We send it to missions. Out of some of that, we send some of those missionaries, we send them a check, an annual check. We send it to them out of that offering. And do you know what we do with the rest of that money that doesn't go to missions? Every prayer letter that comes in from our missionaries, all billions of them that Mrs. Daly puts on my desk seemingly every week. You know what I do? I read every single one of those letters and I write down different things that they might be projects that they're trying to do or things that they're trying to, whether they're asking for money or not, I'll write down some things that they're trying to get accomplished. And what we can do with the extra money that comes in, we can say we're going to send it to this missionary because they're trying to do this, and send it to this missionary because they're trying to build a church building. And sometimes that church building is like bamboo with leaves on the top, right? But they need to be able to have the funds to do it. And what do? We send every single nickel that comes in, we send it to missions. And what do? We say, thank God. Thank God for that. What's our part? Listen, our part isn't for you to do anything other than say, Lord, what do you want me to do? When the missions conference comes and the offering plate's being passed around during the services, and all, Lord, what do you want for me to do to give to missions? And whatever the Lord lays on your heart to give, you give that. And it'll be exactly what God wants you to do. Listen, I know there's some people in here, you worked hard for a long time. So you know what? You probably have a couple more nickels saved up than some young couples, right? So if God puts a larger number on your heart and there's another group that doesn't have, another individual doesn't have the ability to do that same thing, we're not here to say you should give a certain amount. We're here to say, what does God put on your heart? And if you do that and you give to missions and you give that money over to the Lord, God's going to bless it. God's going to bless it. I'm not here to squeeze everything you have. I'm not here to turn you upside down by your ankles and until all the last bit of change falls out of your pockets. I'm here to ask you to go to the Lord between now and then and say, Lord, all right, I know what I have. I know what you've given me. What do you want me to do about supporting missions? This offering that we take, this money that we take, what do you want me to do, Lord? What do you want me to put in the offering plate? A dollar? A thousand? 10,000? Say, that's ridiculous. You'd be surprised. What better investment to make than to lay up treasures in heaven? And so please pray about coming to the missions conference. Please pray about God stirring your heart about missions as you hear them preach. Listen, I don't invite preachers to come and then preach to you about missions. No, I invite missionaries to come so they can preach to you about what God has put on their hearts and the ministries that God has given to them. And pray about coming out Thursday night, and Friday night, and Saturday night, and Sunday, our regular services, and just hear from these men and see their presentations on the big screen that will drop down. See their presentations about what God is doing in the places where God has called them. And let God deal with your heart. And let God speak to you plainly. And let him bless you for being faithful in what he's given you to do. Thank God for the local church that we have here. Thank God for the place where we can come and learn. Thank God for the local churches all across this globe where men and women have went there to do a work of the Lord, to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a blessing that we can do our part. What a privilege to do our part as a local church, to be able to say, God bless this money as we send it to see souls saved. That's how missions works in the scriptures, a skeleton. That's our involvement as a local church. And let's prepare our hearts and ourselves for our missions conference coming up in a couple weeks. Let's bow our heads for prayer.